further in. Hey.
Oh, yeah. That was really... Sorry, that was really funny.
Was it?
Yeah, you went, we're going to get a little count in, and I was waiting for the computer to do a count in, and then you gave me an actual human count in. And not only that, you went, 3, 2, 1, boom.
Like, and then we started recording.
Go.
Yeah.
I love that.
I've got to be honest, I thought the computer was going to give me a countdown. Oh. And as it didn't, I thought, I'm going to have to do one now. I thought it would go, 3, 2, 1, boom.
No, but I loved the boom. I was like, oh, he's telling me what to do.
My eyes have reached a level where I can't quite see the computer properly there. Yeah. I mean, it's quite dark. So it's about a foot and a half away, and I'm struggling a bit. But if I put my reading glasses
on... Can I be honest?
It's not great either.
Because you are nearly 6 years younger than me. Well, nearly said older.
Yeah, you did.
And because you're nearly 6 years younger than me, I'm actually really pleased about that.
That there's a bit of me that's deteriorating faster
than
you.
No, it's not faster. I can't see that.
I know, but could you at 50?
I don't think I could, no.
Good.
I got very vocals 3 years ago.
India, is that 3 years old?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Hello, ladies and gents.
Hi.
It's nice to be back. I hope you enjoyed the episode that went out. Actually, went out this morning. It's Friday we're filming.
I've been quite kind of nervous about all of that. Are they going to let us back?
Yes, but people seem to have liked it. Do you know what we should do, actually? Just take a picture now and post it now, just as a bit of publicity. I'm just going to cover up that area there with my glasses. Post that later, just let people know we're recording. And yeah, it's nice to be back. I was going to read out some bits and pieces and things like that from people in a minute.
Yeah, should we do that at the end?
Yeah, we'll do that at the end. But we must have got messages today, I would have thought.
Can I say something quite funny?
Mm-hmm. If you like.
Do
you think you can?
Who did we just see a picture of? Who? Rossi.
Did we? Rossi D. Woods.
So Rossi on April the 1st did an amazing April Fool's.
Oh, did he?
He posted a picture of him with like no hair. See
this
there
one?
In the middle. Yeah. And he went, happy April the 1st. I thought it was time to get rid of the quiff. It had served me well, but it was time to go. And I'm not joking. I think he looks good.
Yeah, me too.
Without the quiff. Like, but if he ever gets rid of that quiff and he doesn't ask you to do it.
Yeah. Well, his wife's a hairdresser.
Oh, his wife can do it then. Damn it.
I think I'm out.
Damn
of
it.
One. Yeah. But hello, Rossi D. Woods.
Hello, Rossi.
I hope you're well and everything's going great guns for you. So what have we done this week? I haven't seen you this week.
At all.
So it's been Easter, so your son has been off school.
And my daughter's been back from uni.
So you've been hanging out with them.
Yeah.
I have been working like a dog.
I went to, I did go, and I can highly recommend this. I went to Bute in Scotland.
Yes, so I've done Bute, the Barber of Bute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I've done Bute.
Yeah, did it.
I've done it.
Yeah.
It is absolutely
isn't it?
Extraordinary. Stunning in every way, around every single corner. And we were so lucky because you know what the weather's been like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We got to Bute. It had been raining non-stop the day before. We got to Bute and for the whole morning, it was beautifully sunny. We filmed all our driving shots and every corner I went round, it's so funny because the cameraman's in the back and every corner I go around, I'm like, wow. And then he has to go, okay, don't talk.
Yeah.
It's like an involuntary.
Wow. Yeah.
So Bute in Scotland is a definite must go visit.
I did a film for the one show there. We called it The Barber of Bute because there'd been a lot of Syrian refugees a few years ago that were being stationed around the country.
Yeah.
And would you believe a whole bunch of them were taken to the island of Bute.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's fascinating. So they had this kind of influx of Syrian families and various people from that region during the start of that war. But one of them was a pretty accomplished barber, and he opened up a Syrian barber's there. But he did the thing where he does hot wax up your nostrils and your ears and does all that stuff.
Have you ever had that?
Yes.
Jesus Mary. I think the thing about it, though, is that after you've had it done, because I had it done as like a laugh, because I don't really have hair hanging out of my nostrils, or do I? Well, you can't see it anyway because you can't see anymore. So that's fine.
Yeah.
But when I had it done, my nose was more runny than normal.
Oh, yeah. Well,
like, there's nothing to
filter. Yeah.
It.
Nasal hair is important.
Is important.
It does stuff.
It's there for a reason.
Anyway, it was fascinating. And the guy we interviewed, his story and journey from Syria. Oh, wow. Yeah. was bloody remarkable.
Was it?
I mean, you just wouldn't believe what this guy had been through, yeah.
It is incredible, isn't it?
What was so nice is all the people of Butte had brought out all their old kind of bikes that they had in sheds and clothes and stuff like that and laid them all out in the town hall because all these people turned up with nothing.
Nothing, you know? Yeah.
And all of a sudden the kids had lots of toys to play with and bikes to go on and wow. skateboards and everything. And he was so grateful, I think. It was absolutely brilliant. Now, go back to that picture of Scotland. She just showed me
yes,
a picture of Scotland.
Yes, I was just showing you a picture of the Isle of Bute.
Is it?
It's within Argyll and Bute. It's on the west coast of Scotland, and it's an island in the Firth of Clyde.
Oh, you liked saying that, didn't you? It sounded good, that, the Firth of Clyde.
It feels...
Okay.
What clan are you part of? The Douglas clan?
Black Douglas clan,
Black
yeah.
Douglas. Yeah. I'm part of the Fraser clan,
oh,
just to let you know.
So there was this area here. Now you can see that looks like the scan of a penis and testicle.
Oh, yeah. And or this... a heel of a high-heeled
yes,
shoe.
This apparently was used in a court case. I don't know if this is true or not, to demonstrate whether a penis was flaccid enough to appear on television. So, I'm just gonna check what. So, if you look the Campbelltown. It's just by the head.
That's where I went.
You went to Campbelltown?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I've literally got a sweat on. That was the funniest thing ever. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That can't be true.
So if the angle of the penis was any greater than that...
Than that.
It would considered semi-erect and not appropriate to be on British television.
Well, they've completely given up on that now because I've seen far more erect penises than that.
But I'm not sure what
God.
What
I
angle.
Love laughing, Michael. It's like... therapy.
But it's great round there, isn't it? I spent New Year's Eve in Campbelltown once.
I went there on a propeller plane that was so exciting. There's something rather brilliant when you can literally smell the aftershave that the pilot's wearing. You know, you're that close. I've got a sweat on because I've laughed so hard.
I flew to Papawestre. The guy let me use the controls.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I got to the airport in Kill somewhere or another, Kilkenny or something like that, right up the top
Kilkenny's
there.
Kilkenny's on Ireland.
Yeah, it's in
I
Ireland,
think.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mm.
Kildare?
Kirk.
Cobain?
Kirk something or other. Oh God, it's frustrating when you can't find words.
What I live with every bloody day.
Yeah, I rang the pilot. He said, when you get there, just ring the pilot, it'll come out. You know?
Oh my God.
So
no,
I rang
up.
Him and he was having his tea.
Oh my God,
said,
no, shut up.
When I finish having my tea, I'll pop down. It'll be 10 minutes. And then it was just me and him in the plane. He said, sit in the cockpit with it, put the headset on.
Oh, my God.
And we took off.
Oh, my God.
He said, you can fly it for a bit if you want. It's all the controls. I was like, whoop. Amazing.
I mean, have you seen, what is the film with the American that comes over and his plans are to build oil rigs in a beautiful place in Scotland?
Right.
And he... falls in
falls
love,
in love does he?
With Scotland
he oh, okay,
and
for
can't
him.
Do it
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
If anybody is listening to this and knows the film I'm talking about, it was from the like 80s. It was lovely. Please let me know because it's going to drive me absolutely mad. Okay. I'd actually like to talk about something to recommend.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, recommend, because we're way behind schedule here.
Okay, so I've got a couple of quite quick ones that I could do. Firstly is a guy. So obviously my dad had Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So I have a slightly heightened fear of getting Alzheimer's. I mean, my granny had vascular dementia, which you get when you have a stroke, but it's all similar. You know, your veins are a bit clogged up or, you know, you might have some genes or something. And I just want to do everything I can to not get it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing pretty good so far. Not smoking, not drinking, exercising, all of that kind
and
of stuff.
And you've not got it.
And I've not got it yet. But I think the frightening thing about the menopause is that sometimes you can feel if you're a little bit tired or you're a little bit overwhelmed or you've been multitasking too much, literally the memory is the first thing to go. And that is always quite frightening for a woman because 2/3 of Alzheimer's patients are women. And nobody's actually quite sure why that happens yet. But, you know, Dr. Lisa Moscone, who I did the live with, She's somebody I'd highly recommend following if you're perimenopausal or menopausal, because she's a neuroscientist, neurologist, and she just looks at the differences in the brain. So all the cognitive things that go wrong with us, the anxiety, the depression, the forgetfulness, she deals with all of that, and she's absolutely a boss bitch in that area. Right. But this guy is called Robert W.B. Love. Now, you know how the Americans do Instagram. And what was his lovely name? Steve.
Oh, Steve
for Dadbod. And what they've learned to do is that every time they start a video, they go, "Hi, I'm Robert W. Love, W.B. Love, and I'm a neuroscientist, and I specialise in stopping people preventing Alzheimer's." And that's, he says that at the beginning. I'm going to play it to you.
Do you know why?
So you remember, right? So it gets into your head.
Yeah. But it's also because people stop listening after 3 seconds or something.
Or it could be because...
So you try and get the information in the first 3 seconds that you really want people to see.
Oh, okay. Well, listen to this.
This healthy snack food for your brain. If you're new to my channel, hi, my name is Robert Love. I'm a neuroscientist. I specialize in helping people prevent Alzheimer's disease with science. I'm going to
with
a
science.
Festival for the eclipse, and I want to have delicious, healthy food with me. And I don't.
So he does everything.
Yeah.
So he'll get another scientist on. He had a brilliant scientist on, because these aren't things like take this supplement, mm-hmm. and I'm going to actually make them and here buy it. Mm-hmm. He literally is a scientist that just wants to help you not get Alzheimer's. He had a guy on who just said three things. The three best things that you can do to prevent yourself from getting Alzheimer's. First one, exercise.
Yeah.
Page one, so important. Second one, sleep. Most valuable thing, because sleep is when your brain detoxifies itself.
Well imagine,
So it needs to rest. Mm. And it's interesting because women in later life, one of the massive things that we get is broken sleep.
Okay.
And without HRT, I was waking up maybe 4 or 5 times a night. Mm. So sleep is a big one. And the third
that
one...
That was me, nudging you.
Yeah. The third one is... it would be quite funny if I'd forgotten. But I haven't.
Yeah.
The third one is stress.
Okay.
And stress is an absolute killer for your brain.
I was going to talk a bit about that today.
So I would... If you are worried about it, if you are a midlifer and you want to do everything you can to prevent, you know, yes, it can be genetic, but actually everything can be genetic.
Yeah.
We all might have genes, but it doesn't mean that our genes are going to get triggered to make us have that thing. Just because you've got the gene.
Fascinating thing about that BRCA gene, which is the breast cancer gene. Mm. More people were getting breast cancer that didn't have the gene. So it was like getting tested for the gene didn't really tell you very much in the end.
I mean, I think...
I don't know how accurate that information is, but somebody did tell me that.
I just feel like when you hear you've got a gene for something, it can send you into a bit of a tailspin.
Yeah.
But please know that lifestyle changes that you make in your life can make such a profound difference. Mm. And look... You know, God, we might get Alzheimer's, we might get hit by a bus, we might get run over. You know, I was reading an article yesterday about someone whose wife got hit by a car. She was young, she was healthy, she was pushing her pram. Things just happen. But you just got to try and do the best that you can to get your body into shape.
It's funny. It's interesting, isn't it? Mm. So one of the things I've been doing, which I could easily put down as a recommendation, is every night this week for at least 20 minutes a night, I've played the piano.
Yes, you have.
And I've decided to pick a series of songs that I like, that I would like to one day perform to you, largely.
Can I say this is the sweetest thing you've ever said to me?
Is it?
Yes. What? That you want to learn something to sing to me.
I want to sing to you, yeah, it'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
It's not like... You didn't say I want to sing it in front of everybody at a party.
I know. Too stressful. Yeah.
You said you wanted to sing it to me.
Yes, yes.
That's the nicest thing ever.
Good. We were chatting a couple of weeks ago and I said, do you know what we should do? I should try and perform a song for you and to you by the piano. And you were like, why? And I was like... Because
I wasn't like that.
No. I didn't mean that. But let's say, for instance, you'd say, well, why do you want to do that right now or whatever? But I was thinking, I'd quite like to put myself under a certain amount of stress and just to see what it's like, you know.
Mm.
Because one of the things that happened to me this year, I think I mentioned this last year, I was quite low for the first couple of months of this year.
I didn't talk about that last week.
So I woke up on January the 1st and I just thought, oh, fuck, you know, like, oh, well, here we go, you know. Another year and all that. And then by January the 10th, I was like, I still really feel like pretty fed up and a bit low. And when you looked at my life and everything, you'd think, how could you be low and fed up about this? You know, like, your life's great. And I was like, yeah, no, it's great. So why do I feel kind of weird? And why was I feeling anxious and just a bit stressed? Now, I'm one of these people who likes to lean into it a bit, really. So I think, well, I'm not going to try and get rid of it. I'm going to try and see what it's got to teach me, you know. So I kind of wallowed in it for quite a while and, you know, I got myself stressed about other things. Remember, I tried to sand the floors off when it went pear-shaped.
What was interesting about that was that it was almost like you were punishing yourself.
Yes, it was something it was like very weird, like an act of self-harm or something.
Yeah.
I'd agreed to do this kind of big job, DIY job, that was way outside of my domain
of
competence.
It wasn't even that I'd asked you to do it.
No, you hadn't asked me to do it.
You said I'd agreed, but you agreed with yourself.
Oh, no, I agreed with myself. Yeah, sorry, I didn't realise I
said
that.
No, but what I think is interesting is it was like I was saying, let's get someone
somebody
in.
To do it,
and you went, no, I want to do it. And you know, I love that well, you want to do DIY in the house. But I knew that we had one weekend to do it in. We were moving in 2 days. And you, like, literally, it was the biggest bloody job ever to do on your own.
And it just got on top of me. And then I was massive. Like, fuck, why have I agreed to do this fucking thing? Like, anyway, it was very strange. And then I was thinking, okay, I've got to do something about shifting this cloud that seems to be following me around. So exercise helps, but it's a lot of effort exercise, you know, and sometimes I just can't fit it in or I really don't want to fit it in. So I middled around with my diet a little bit and messed around with that. It didn't seem to do anything. But anyway, there was a big shift over at Easter. For some reason, it's all kind of gone away. So there was all sorts of, I guess, the weather coming and all that. But I had decided...
Longer days
made a big difference, yeah. But I had decided to put myself under various amounts of stress because I feel like all the, everything I've read and everything was that, you know, if you can work at your limits and then just beyond your limits, that's where all the growth is and where all the excitement is. If you're working within your limits, like you're not going anywhere or doing anything. And I felt like that's what had happened to me, that actually...
You always could do more.
Yes, but there was nothing more to do in a way. You know, like I had nothing to get my teeth into because business is quite slow at the first quarter of the year. There's nothing really going on. And there was... I was just thinking, why am I not excited about things? I used to be excited about all sorts of things. And I thought, well, let's put myself under some pressure. That was the reason, really, I just decided I would play the piano.
I mean, it's
in a performance because I thought, this is going to make me stressed and anxious, but that will make me grow. And then I'll start to feel a bit more excited because I've grown a little bit. So that was the idea behind it. But what I wanted to recommend to people was this idea, is that if you're feeling a bit low or you're struggling a little bit, then try doing something that puts you under a certain amount of pressure. So maybe it's a presentation or some public speaking or going to sing karaoke or, I don't know, just doing something that you wouldn't normally do or that would push you to a limit in some way.
This reminds me of a song that you sent me a long, long, long time ago.
Oh, the Baz Luhrmann
thing.
Yeah,
where it says, do something that scares you every
day.
And I think the other thing is, I think, you know, we've been together for a while and when you just get on with somebody, everything's quite easy.
Yes.
And sometimes when it gets easy, you get a bit like, oh.
Yeah, complacent.
Not complacent, but it's like, I need to feel.
Yes, I wanted to feel anxious.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can do it in front of you at least. Because then if I fuck it up or it goes wrong, you're not going to laugh at me. But
can
I
just
would
tell
like
you,
to
whatever you
be
do,
impressive. Yes. That was the point. Like, I wanted to be really good. So you would go, wow, that was really good.
I've heard bits of it, I've got to say, already. Yeah.
Well,
sounding so good.
I thought, you know what, I'm going to really put myself through it. So I've made a playlist of like 10 of my favourite piano songs. That
can
really
you
like
give people some of the favourite songs? So maybe we should do a playlist on making a cut.
Yes, do make a good playlist of it.
On Spotify.
The playlist is called Performance.
Okay.
So they're all songs to be performed. And they're all, I think, within you know, my capabilities, as long as I get rid of the fiddly bits. So anyway, there was that. And then I played the piano every day this week for 20 minutes minimum every night.
It's made a big difference.
Oh, my God, I can't tell you how really good I'm feeling and how excited I am to play. And because I've got better, because I've practiced, so I have actually grown into this new space, that all of a sudden all these funny little possibilities have opened up there. Where now literally any song that came on the radio, I could go, okay, give me 2 minutes and I could probably work out roughly the chords and then how to play it and sing it a little bit. And I thought,
how many days have you done?
Just 5 years.
Days?
Just 5 days.
Yeah.
But I had a basic level of how to play the piano, but it just got a lot better this week.
Wow.
And then I was thinking, isn't it a shame that there isn't enough music shops anywhere? Like, there is no music shops.
No, we're quite lucky here.
We've got one really good one in Tunbridge Wells. So my other recommendation was to go and buy a musical instrument for your house. If you've got kids that don't play music, don't make them play it. Just buy it, put it in the corner.
Yes.
They soon pick it up.
So important. Because your kids both play instruments.
Yes.
And they did it. My kids don't, but I think they will come back to it because all of them played when they were little.
Do you know what your son said to me yesterday?
No.
That he's learned a song on the piano. And if he didn't have a piano, he would have never learned.
I've never heard him play.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He played a song to me last week on his iPhone and he said, I want to learn how to play this. And I was like, fuck, I'll learn how to play it. And he said, today I've learned how to play it a bit better than. Yeah. So there you go. But the point is, he would never have done that if we didn't have a piano.
If he hadn't heard you.
Yeah, well, maybe. But who knows? But anyway, musical instruments. And there's this huge mental health crisis going on everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, if there was a decent music shop in every town and people would spend some money on some music, I can't tell you how bloody good it was. So my recommendation was, if you've got instruments, play them. And if not, go and buy one.
Well, after that incredibly kind of deep and meaningful, I would like to talk about something that will also help you through those dark moments, and that is chocolate. So Tony Chocolonely, who we've recommended before, because we do love his chocolate, and also we love the whole ethos behind it, because they want to put a stop to slavery, they want to put a stop to, they want to kind of make everything fair trade, and their chocolate's all fair trade, so you can eat their chocolate and feel really good about it.
And that is why the chocolate's all different shapes and sizes, right? It's unequal.
But this is equal. It's the balls.
Okay.
So this is the balls. I've chosen to talk about the salted caramel balls. I know you don't like salted caramel. These milk caramel sea salt biscuit balls are ridiculous. So there is a £3 bag, £2.50, excluding VAT, and they are, I would say it's probably a bit like a Maltesers sort of grab bag, you know, like one of those ones. I ate a whole bag on my own.
Yes, I saw the empty bag.
I ate a whole bag on my own. I mean, we all know I've got a problem with chocolate anyway, but they were off the charts. I've had to stop buying them. That's how good they are.
Yeah, I know, it's deadly,
isn't
it?
So just to say, Tony Chocolonely's Little Bits and the Bites, they're really, really good.
This week, I've been catching up with my favourite Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Season 12 of Curb Your Enthusiasm has come out. This has obviously been going for, it must be 12 to 15 years if you're doing a season a year or something like that. Maybe starting in the very early noughties. What's interesting about all the people in it, including Larry himself, and I hope nobody minds me saying this, but just how old they've got.
Yes.
Richard Lewis sadly passed away quite recently, who is a character in Larry David as well. And he looks so...
Well, he looks ill, doesn't he?
He looks very poorly, yeah. Mm. But it's such a nice... There's such a nice gang of people, and it's so nice to kind of watch them and grow old with them in a way.
And also that some of them die. I think the hardest thing for my parents' generation, you know, in their 70s and 80s, the hardest thing for them is that they feel kind of great, but their friends are all ill or dying or looking or caring for someone that's dying.
God, yeah.
It's, you know, you want to go and have fun, but you've all got to be free at the same time, and it's really hard.
I read a review of season 12 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It was quite scathing, actually, and said
it
was very good and it lost its way and all the rest of it. And I thought, oh, that's a shame. I thought, oh, well, I'll watch it anyway. And I think, fuck that review. You know, it was rubbish, that review. It's really bloody good, this. It's very heartwarming and really funny. And it's just as it always was, as far as I'm concerned.
Is he still... He hasn't gone kind of politically correct, has he, Larry David?
Well, he's playing in that area of the world of woke, you know, where he's slightly anti-woke.
Oh, okay, so he's anti-woke,
But it's very, very good. And I don't... You know, there's not much more to say about it other than the people in it are brilliant. As a sitcom and a comedy, what do you call it, legacy, it's just absolutely fantastic.
For anybody that hasn't seen it, I know we've talked about it before, but can you just explain how it works? Because it's unscripted, right?
It's unscripted. So Larry David was the co-creator of Seinfeld, and that became the biggest sitcom in the world. And he believed when he sold it, he made about $500 million. I don't know how accurate that is.
And what was it that his friend
Jeff
said about
Garland
him?
Garland said to, he said, the funny thing about Larry is that I knew that no matter how much money he made, he would never be any different. He still drives a Prius And he still wears these weird sneakers and then these funny corduroys. It's like nothing changed about him at all when he became like a multi-millionaire. And I just loved that because the temptation just got fucking nuts and buy Ferraris yeah. and all that. But I just think, oh, great, yeah, you like yourself enough.
Yes.
That even if you're given the choice, you'd say, no. I'm staying who I am,
yeah.
I really like to think that would happen to me.
But so tell me about, just very quickly about the script, because I don't understand. So yes. He basically has a rough idea for where it's going from A to B.
Yeah, they made a documentary about Larry David getting a new one-man show back in about 2000. It was called Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm. And it was like a documentary. They just followed him around and he just did whatever he did. He had meetings
and somebody
said it was so funny. But they said, why don't we just actually do this as a sitcom? So Larry David plays himself. There's a rough outline of what the episode is supposed to be. So there's a beginning, middle and end, you know, kind of narrative arc. But the scenes are shot unscripted with spontaneous kind of...
Because sometimes you can see them about to corpse.
Absolutely, yeah.
So good.
So anyway, it's on Now TV, seems to be the only place you can get it. You can probably buy it on Apple TV as well per episode. But it's season 12 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You're welcome. It's bloody brilliant.
So I've been talking a lot about Food Diary, me putting the Food Diary on my Insta on stories because people always ask me what I eat. Mm-hmm. And I'd been putting on food for the past few days just to kind of show people what I consume. And Holly's been cooking for us this week. And I was quite pleased that you haven't been down here because I have been so windy. Because
she puts nuts and seeds on everything
and 1,000 different types of fibre and everything, you know. I mean, we didn't have a lasagna the other day. We had an aubergine lasagna with lentils instead of meat. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I'm so glad I wasn't here
for
that.
You are so glad you weren't here. I took off. But anyway, in the spirit of Holly, Holly is amazing because she's just about to graduate from... and become a dietitian. Well, she is a dietitian now. She's just got to graduate. But she's been living off £20 to £25 a week food budget. And she eats brilliantly. She batch cooks. She puts in the fridge. So I'm always saying to her, you know, have you got any good, like, tips? She just said you should have a bag of seeds in your cupboard at all times.
Yes, it's a good idea.
And put it on everything. So she sent me a thing the other day, and she was so excited because she'd found the cheapest bag of seeds of anywhere she'd looked.
Yep.
Aldi, Lidl, all supermarkets. She actually found this bag of seeds on Amazon, bizarrely. And it's a company called Hides. Hides Fine Foods Premium Seed Mix. It's got pumpkin, sunflower, linseed and poppy seed. It's 1 kilogram GMO-free, suitable for vegetarians. And you can put it in roasts for trail mix, seed butter for baking. Baking, seeds are brilliant in baking. And it costs £9.69 for a kilo.
That's nine, is it? I thought that was a five. Oh,
yeah.
Wow, God, okay, for a kilo, that'll keep you going, won't it?
Yeah, so that's, she was so chuffed with that she sent it to me on a WhatsApp. She's like, Mum, you've got to get this. So I did, I got it, and we put it on everything.
I'm going to talk briefly about food as well, because, well, you know, while I was trying to get out of my fog, one of the things I realised is, and we all seem to know now, just how important your diet is to your general kind of feeling of well-being.
Yeah, forget your insides, just your head.
Yeah, exactly, yes. And I eat a lot of crap, I eat a lot of crisps, I eat lots of sweets and chocolates and stuff like that. And sometimes I fast and sometimes I don't. And I always think, I'm not doing this very well. And I always cut carbs because I don't want fat. And it's like carbs are fat as far as my brain is concerned. I realise that's not true. So I'm like, but then I realised I've no fucking energy, you know. So I was like, okay, so what am I going to do? So anyway, I stumbled across this guy on Instagram. Now, lots of people might already know who this is. He's called Eddie Ebu. Is that right, you think?
Yeah, Ebu? I think so.
Eddie Ebu. So he's got 3.6 million followers. A lot of people know. He's a very kind of interesting, charismatic guy. He's an ex-bodybuilder. Also said he's a qualified psychiatric nurse, which is quite interesting, isn't he? He was a qualified bodybuilder.
Right.
So he obviously knows how to build a body.
Okay.
And he's got 3.6 million followers.
I have stopped eating ready grated cheese because of him.
Because of him. Okay. Yeah.
Which I think is a really good thing.
Well, I've started eating.
I grate my own cheese.
Yeah. No,
because it's covered in potato starch. I didn't know that.
So let's have a quick look, see what he says on this one. This is a random one. It says shitty carbs versus sweet potato. He swears a lot. I think that's the other thing.
Carbs versus a sweet potato. This It's a chemical concoction put together in a lab. I bought this on the 23rd of November last year. That is 9 months ago.
He's holding up a piece of bread.
This is not food. Square bars. Every other fucker eats this in the fitness industry. When I see somebody eating this, I'm like,
what is that?
I'll tell you what.
It's a Rice Krispie bar.
What, fitness people eat that?
They contain no micronutrients. For your body to convert the calories from this to energy, it needs micronutrients. I hope you're listening, guys. I'm speaking slowly because most of this body will simply
it's down really funny.
Follow the down brigade. You need the micronutrients to do the conversion. The B vitamins, calcium, potassium, magnesium, these things don't have them. This is shit. Apart from that, it's containing things like emulsifiers, stabilizers, sugar. It's not food. Sweet potato comes with its own micronutrients.
He delivers it in a way. What he's just done there was very clear.
Yeah, yeah.
And it breaks through. Well, the reason why he's got 3.8 million viewers is because he's actually so accessible
to a bunch of people that aren't being communicated
to. So anyway, what's he stopped you from doing?
Well, I guess just stopped eating so much shit. You know, when he says, don't eat this, it's shit. I was like, okay, I'm not going to eat that.
What? Give me something
crisps,
that he said. Yeah, good.
And just like penguins and Kit Kats and all the stuff I like, you know. But basically, he praised eggs and avocados, basically. And he just went on and on and on about it. And I just thought, oh, well, for fuck's sake, Eddie, I'll just go and get some avocado and eggs. So this is what I do for my breakfast every morning, which is not great necessarily, but I go to McDonald's every morning for breakfast. Wait for it. So do you know where you can get eggs for breakfast, like on the hoof?
No.
Pret-a-manger? No, you can't get eggs at Pret-a-manger.
Somebody should just be cooking eggs
for breakfast, because I would just go and buy 3 scrambled eggs in a pot with a lump of avocado in it and some hot sauce.
Some seeds.
How easy would it be? Just anything.
Do you want seeds? Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't want seeds.
No, but do you know what I mean? Absolutely. You could ask, do you want seeds? Do you want this?
It'd be easy, right?
Cheese.
So guess where I get eggs from?
McDonald's.
You get eggs from McDonald's. And they're free-range eggs. They're probably not organic, so don't go mad. But they're free-range eggs. And you can go, right? And you go to Egg McMuffin, right? Listen. Egg McMuffin. Bink. Customise. Bink. Add another egg. Bink. Lose the muffin. Bink. 2 eggs, and it's got a slice of cheese between them. And that's what I have every morning, and I get to the studio and have half an avocado.
Can I also say, I was reading today, avocado every day, unbelievably good for you.
Well, I can't tell you how much better I feel
having
played the piano every day and started eating eggs for breakfast every day and carbs
so
for
pleased.
Lunch.
Good.
Always carbs for lunch good. With protein.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I think that he's really passionate about what he does. I think he looks fucking great. I don't know how old he is, but he's...
He's 70s,
maybe. He's really impressive in terms of his physique and clearly his mental prowess. But he delivers information in the most brilliantly accessible way.
He does.
So well done, Eddie.
So eggs for breakfast with some avocado, a little bit of hot sauce. That's me recommending, me food recommendation. Well, and it's $3.59 for 2 eggs at McDonald's. So that's my other thing. If you're going to go to McDonald's, then at least buy the eggs. Okay, 2 more things. One from you and one from me.
Okay, so I want to talk about somewhere in Newcastle.
Why?
Because I don't want to be too London-centric. Mm-hmm. And I went to go and visit Holly in Newcastle not that long ago with Chester. And Holly took us out to a few restaurants. One of them, the big student area where everybody rents their houses after they've been in halls the first year is called Jesmond. And so Jesmond's got loads of kind of little pop-up kind of shops, but it seems that very much the trendy, cool thing at the moment is restaurants that do little plates.
Okay.
So you might order, if there's 3 of you, you order...
The tapas-y thing.
Yeah, but it was more, it was better than that. This, I've got to say that this restaurant, we went to a restaurant called Long Friday.
Okay.
In Jesmond. And we had to book... it's got a really nice atmosphere. It's quite small. It's very relaxed. They've got a kind of wide range. They've got small plates. They've got organic wines. They've got cocktails. They've got homemade soft drinks. Obviously got good drinks for your
gut. Got kombucha by any chance?
Yep. Look how beautifully decorated it is.
Mid-century.
Yes, it's very mid-century, and you know how much we love that.
Yeah.
So it's open Wednesday and Thursday, 5 p.m. till late, which I really like. 5 p.m. is a good time to start dinner.
Yes, it is.
And then Friday to Sunday, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's open 12 noon till late. So what's nice is they've got Monday, Tuesday off.
Oh, great.
That's quite nice, isn't it,
super
as well?
Nice, yeah.
So they can have spontaneous walk-ins because they've got a little bar area kind of bit where you can sit in the window at a kind of bar table and look out the window. But this is what I mean by little plates. They're not that little.
Okay, yes. Okay.
And it is a proper meal, you can see here. I'm just going to try and have a look at a menu and show you.
I'm not mad on tapas, you know. I always think, like, I don't know, there's too much to order. Then you
tapas can be very basic.
Yeah, but this looks absolutely gorgeous.
It's really, really good. So it's Brentwood Avenue in Jesmond. It's called Long Friday. It's longfriday.co.uk. I would highly recommend a visit if you're in the surrounding area or you want to go visit somewhere. Jesmond's really pretty. They've also got a little petting zoo nearby, so you could go for the day, you could go to the petting zoo in the afternoon and then go and have dinner at Long Friday.
Wash your hands, obviously.
Yeah, oh my God, I had like literally a spiritual moment with a goat.
Did you?
Yeah. It loved me.
Does not surprise me. Jesmond sounds like it's somewhere exotic.
Yeah, it is. Newcastle.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, you know that photograph that we put on the telly that I took of Newcastle, the Quay?
Yeah.
The Quay is so cool and beautiful, and it's got that really amazing bridge that goes over the water. And then it's got the performing kind of theatre area with all the orchestras and everything on the other side. Newcastle is buzzing.
Yeah, it is nice.
Unbelievably cool. Yeah. So I can't recommend that high enough. In fact, Newcastle as a city. But Long Friday is an amazing restaurant.
So we were sent a book recently by a chap called Andrew Gold. So I'd talked about Andrew Gold last year because I'd stumbled across a podcast where he'd interviewed Richard Dawkins. And I love anything with Dawkins, really. I'd never seen Andrew Gold before or heard of him before, but I really liked he had a style of interviewing people that I hadn't really seen. Everything else seems derivative. You always go, oh, this is the next Louis Theroux or this is the next Jonathan Ross or whatever it was like. I was like, oh, this guy's not really like an interviewer I've ever seen interview before. He had a really nice kind of clunkiness about him. Put things on edge, you know.
Yes.
He's got a YouTube channel called Heretics where he interviews people. And I think he's probably seen, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but he's certainly seen on the slightly right-hand side of politics. And he gets a bit of hate for that. But he did a really good interview with David Baddiel, which I really liked not long ago. But anyway, he's launched a book. So he says here, he did a post a day ago, and he says, in 15 minutes, my world will change. It doesn't feel like it. I'm in my pyjamas. Fiancé is asleep. I'm watching Dachshunds on Instagram. But when the clock strikes midnight, I'll be a published
author. That's
really
sweet, isn't it?
It is great, isn't it? There's something great about being a published author. Yeah. You're a published author.
Yeah.
It must be great.
Yeah, it is quite mad. I think the maddest one of all for me was, because the sugar-free thing, I felt like a bit of a fraud because I talked about it in the book and said, I'm not a chef. I've got people coming up with recipes, helping me learn how to cook. This is my learning how to cook sugar-free. So I'm doing it with you. But my menopause book felt really special.
Yes, I bet it felt it. And it won awards and stuff
no,
like that.
It really felt good.
That was a year ago, that.
Yeah.
When you won Best Book.
Best Book of the Year.
At the Book Awards.
Like of books. You know what was funny? Like my mum called me up the next day and she went, you beat Salman Rushdie.
I mean, holy shit. And he'd just been attacked.
That was terrible.
Oh, wasn't it just? It's unbelievable. That.
Anyway,
but congratulations.
We digress.
Yeah, well done, Andrew.
We
Gold
just want to say,
book.
Andrew, I read the first chapter. It's about secrets. It's called The Psychology of Secrets.
Yeah.
It's not the book that you think that he would write. It is just about the kind of magnitude of the kind of secrets that people hold, the kind of in-depth, the layers of it and everything. It's so interesting and also jaw-dropping. You won't want to put it down.
What was slightly annoying, Andrew, if you ever listen to this, is there's two of us and you only sent one book, so I had to keep following around.
I had to keep stuffing.
And then
and
I felt guilty.
Michael, guess what?
And then I felt guilty about stealing it. I said, are you still reading this? She went, yes. I was like, right, crikey.
Yeah, that was true. When we went to Vegas, I was like, no,
I know.
Taking it.
It's so as you say, it's Psychology of Secrets, My Adventures with Murderers, Cults and Influencers. But I'm looking forward to reading that, so I thought I'd give it a shout out because it's new out this week. Okay, quick few shout outs. We've obviously, the podcast only went out today.
Yes.
And it is Friday today.
Yes.
So we haven't really got many people. Mm. Just people saying, there's a good recommendation for a long sleeve top from Agnes B there, from Cecile Bramley. So thank you very much for that. Jude says, so glad you're back.
Oh, it's good to be back, Jude.
Yes, thanks. I was going to do Hey Jude there on the piano, but great to have you back, says Jackie Smith. Thank you, Jackie. And this is a message from Restless Money. So you're going to do something with these?
Yes, well, it's not just because that's Restless Money, but it's kind of restless.co.uk, the whole business.
Okay.
I was like, we should talk about what can we do to help?
Yes.
What can I do to help them get to a broader audience? Because it's for the over 50s and
it's me.
It's you now. Mm-hmm. And I really think what they do is great. So I'm not getting paid or anything to do it. I just think they need a bigger audience. So I was going to kind of see what I could do to get them that.
Good. Great. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for joining us on this little journey.
It's good to be back.
MD London is doing great guns, by the way. We're launching a YouTube channel, and hopefully our people,
when's
you people,
starting?
Listen to this. I think we're going to try and get 8 episodes out once a week.
But when are you going to get them on?
So we filmed 2. I think we'd like to film another 6 before we start putting them out. So I'm thinking probably another 4 weeks or something like that. Go on the MD London YouTube channel. They'll be about 12 to 15 minutes long. And they're kind of big human interest stories, like of people who've been through something really significant. Mm. And I get to give them a hairstyle and spend some time with them and learn a little bit about their lives. Anyway,
you're so good at that.
We filmed 2 episodes of it this week, and wow, it was brilliant. There were tears and everything.
What about you?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. They were fine, obviously. but that's coming out. And
I can't wait to see that.
Anyway, well, let's have a fantastic week, everybody.
Yeah, have a lovely weekend. Okay. Bye.